When I grow up, I'm going to be a veterinarian?
It's awesome.
And I'm going to be what you said we need more of.
So you want to be a plumber-narian?
Do you think I can?
I think that if you work really hard, you can be anything.
Promise?
You bet I do.
When you promise your kids the world, we're here to help you keep it. Ohio's 529 plan is the best tax-free savings plan for future college or career training nationwide. Start now at collegeadvantage.com.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Welcome to On Texas Football. I'm Bobby Burton, joined by C.J. Vogel and Jerry Hamilton of On Texas Football. Special thanks to our sponsor each and every week of the state of the program, Adam Lowy of the Lowy Law Firm. All right, Jerry and C.J., big week ahead, big week behind the Longhorns, too, across all sports, 15 conference titles to end the Big 12 era at the University of Texas. Certainly a big one there. But we're going to focus a little bit on the go-ahead and what Texas is looking like for the next month in the football program. And let's start really with the June 1 date right now, because that seems to be the big day for the elite camp where the Longhorns will be bringing in a number of top prospects. CJ, you've been bird dogging in that a little bit for us. Tell folks a little bit about what they can expect and who some of the top players are they can expect coming in for the class of 2026 on that that elite camp.
Yeah, of course, the quarterbacks steal the show there, right? You know, it's Troy Hewitt, it's Dia Bell. Whether or not Texas goes one direction or the other for that 2026 quarterback position, of course, historically, over the last couple of cycles under Steve Sarkisian, you've seen that future class quarterback be picked and join the fold, or at least start thinking about joining the class, or at least beginning it around this time of the year, with those guys coming in and both throwing in front of both Steve Sarkisian and AJ Milby. It makes sense to believe that Texas is going to pick one of the guys to be their quarterback of the class and move forward with them from this camp. Of course, there will be a number of big time prospects on campus as well. We have a full list getting compiled right now on texasfootball.com. A couple big names coming in. KJ Ford coming in from Duncanville, big time. Edge rusher Jamar Carlton from Temple, 6'5", great wingspan, 86-inch wingspan coming in as well. Of course, Isaiah Williams, the big-time national safety, and Zalus Hicks, two big national safeties coming in as well. I'll be really excited to see them. And then the running backs, Racing Guillory will be in town. He's already committed to Texas, has been on campus a number of times dating back to the junior day where he made his commitment back January 20th. And Tre'Darrion Ball out of Texarkana, Texas High, really talented ball players up there. And, of course, there will be some big humans, you know, Toa Katoa, two guys from IMG Academy, Brett Colage, who mentioned his April 13th visit that Texas was pushing for a commitment. And, you know, there's still probably a long way to go in that recruitment, as there are for most 2026s, but it does go to say where Texas views him at the moment. So really solid class coming in. And of course, a number of really talented 27s as well. It looks to me like one of the more stacked, loaded, talented classes of elite camp attendees that I've seen since covering the Sarkisian era.
Yeah. Hey, Jerry, that CJ's last point there kind of brings me to the question I have for you. You and I have often talked about the idea that Texas has been behind the eight ball in early recruiting since Sarkisian came to town, really. I mean, because he had to make up time for Jimbo Fisher being there earlier, having a better head start. Texas had gone over two head coaches in that time frame, transitioning from Charlie Strong to Tom Herman. Herman didn't work out, so they transitioned to Steve Sarkisian. Furthermore, A&M had the SEC to sell, and they were a little bit ahead of the game early on from an NIL perspective, a whole year ahead of some others. And so my question for you is this. Has Texas, with this elite camp, finally caught up to that lead that A&M enjoyed under Jimbo Fisher now that they're having to go through their own transition with Mike Elko on these young recruits? Is Sark and those guys, Brandon Harris, are they ahead of the game now a little bit?
Yeah, I think they're definitely ahead of the game. The win over Alabama, winning the Big 12, getting to the college football playoff, coupled with the move to the SEC, all the guys being drafted, the national award winners, right? All the notoriety that Texas program is getting now. Also, this is why it's absolutely true, Bobby. The past two or three years, some of those out-of-state 7-on-7 teams, especially at the beginning of the Sark era, they weren't really stopping off in Austin if they were playing a tournament in Dallas or Houston. Now you see all these teams coming to Austin, coming in a day early, coming in 3 or 4 hours early on earlier flight so they can drive to Austin, have some of those kids spend some time at Texas. That's what establishing the program, winning games, obviously all the things we talk about has put Texas in a much different position in recruiting. And that's huge because, look, Nick Saban was great at everything he did running a program, right? But one of the areas that he had such a big head start on everybody else in college football for so long is he had won at such a high level for so long and had so many guys drafted. He could get every kid to campus he wanted. And that huddle evaluation is different when you get those guys in person. And you can talk with them. You can have conversations with them. You can watch them work out. You can give. You can get the height, weight, wingspan, arm, hand size measurements, all that good stuff. Nick Saban could get every kid he wanted to campus for over a decade. And that puts your evaluation process on another level. And you're starting to see with Steve Sarkisian and the staff that they're getting more out-of-state kids to campus earlier. So that accelerates and continues to improve their evaluation process, and a process that I think that Texas has knocked out of the park so far since they've been in Austin. But now you're adding more guys to those lists that you can get to campus, you can spend time around, and one, determine yes or no, we want to move forward with the guy. No, he's not a fit. Then you get into past that evaluation, you get to see the kid work out, or you get the measurements on the kid. You get to see him interact with some of the Texas team, maybe get some feedback from those guys. So that evaluation process has ramped up about times 10 since the win over Alabama, followed by the college football playoff appearance.
That's good stuff, Jared, because I think that the feel for me is that it takes a while for your program to establish and make that turn. And so people want immediate results in recruiting. Well, Sarkisian's delivered that, but he's done it in non-traditional ways, whether it's through the portal or hanging on to the very end and finalizing some guys at the very end. Now I think he might be able to do it in a little more traditional way as possible as well. All right, the next piece I wanted to bring up here and what I wanted to talk about with you guys has to do with commitments and where Texas stands heading into the month of June. Jerry, you talked about a high and all this other stuff. Before we get to that, though, I want to say thank you to our sponsor, Adam Lowy of the Lowy Law Firm. Been helping injured Texans for 2 decades now. Visit Adam and his firm at LowyLawFirm.com. If you've been injured in a truck wreck, car wreck, ATV accident, motorcycle, what have you, give them a shout. That is Adam, or that is LowyLawFirm.com. I appreciate Adam and his company sponsoring on Texas football. All right, Jerry, you talked about, and you do your little high thing on the message boards on Texas football when Texas has a commitment. People have asked you, is there truly a commitment, one, and where is it? Are there multiple? You know, look, James Simon is a week away from making his announcement, the running back out of Shreveport. How many guys and where does Texas stand right now outside of the guys that are actually currently publicly committed?
So I think Texas has 4 or 5 prospects that have told them they're committed privately to the University of Texas right now. When those guys will announce, we'll see. But yeah, there's as many as a high of 5 that are committed to Steve Sarkisian and that staff right now. So the public number of commitments is different than what the recruiting board is saying right now on the 40 acres. But yeah, there's four or five for sure.
Okay. What does that mean though? Like, take that through. How does that change maybe Texas's perspective heading into the month of June, where they're going to have 40 plus official visitors?
Yeah. So look, without giving it away, it's a tough answer, but without giving it away, there's a couple of three positions on the board now that the lines change, right? Okay. There's a couple of guys committed, right? So you're down to two or three other prospects at that same position. So I think it gives people a chance to narrow in really on the remaining targets at different positions for Texas. But, you know, as far as these guys taking those commitments publicly, I think the big thing for Texas is continuing to build some momentum, right? So I think some of these silent commitments will be made public soon. So Texas can build a little more momentum headed into these June official visits. I think that's a big part of this, right? And because look, the reality is, no matter who it is that goes public for the Texas fans that are thinking who it could be, they're going to be national wins. They're going to be wins over big programs. They're going to be wins over rivalry programs. I mean, it's going to create a little more momentum for Texas. Not that they necessarily need it, but headed into these June official visits and even the June first elite day. So I think Texas is about to build a little more momentum publicly. Right now it's more behind the scenes. They'll build that momentum publicly leading into these June 7th through 9th, 14th through 16th, and 21st through 23rd weekends. And then once you have that number of commitments gets up to 11 or 12, it's a little easier to squeeze some of these guys. All right, guys. I mean, look, we have one spot left at this position. You have it if you want it, right? We may have two spots left at this position. They're yours if you want them. So you can kind of accelerate some of those decisions maybe from August into early July, so you have the majority of that class committed prior to August 1st.
Got it. All right. I want to ask you on this, move this forward a little bit here on the state of the program. What are some of the subplots to what we're going to be talking about in June? We just talked about one of them, CJ mentioned, was who Texas is going to take on out of the quarterback position in the 2026 class. That's a subplot. Some of the ones that I wrote about today on Texas Football, and tell me if you agree with this, guys. Who's going to be the receivers that Texas really targets beyond DeCorian Moore and probably beyond Jamie French? Like, who's the next group of that? The defensive line is a subplot in that there's really only one guy on the defensive front, and not taking Lance Jackson into consideration, but talking about defensive tackle, Zion Williams, that Texas is really after in the state of Texas. So Texas is having to go elsewhere, yeah. And they're going to have to be competing against teams in closer proximity. Is Texas actually going to be able to move the ball forward and get commitments from those guys? That's a subplot to me, right? And then the last one I had, Jerry, and you and I talked about this a lot, while we know that I-20 has been amazing, right? That South Dallas area. Fort Bend, Missouri City area in Houston has long been one of the best talent-producing areas in the state of Texas and in the Houston area for sure. And Texas has come up dry there year after year, okay? They are currently in on two defensive backs out of Fort Bend, Caleb Chester out of Marshall High School and Cade Phillips out of Hightower, that are both priorities for the Longhorns. Could this be the year where Texas turns that around in Fort Bend? Those are the subplots that I have. Yeah. Are there any others? And then we'll take those subplots one by one. You have any others, Jerry?
Go ahead, CJ, and I'll go behind CJ on that.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, I also wanted to add Isaiah Williams, who from Fort Bend Marshall, that talented safety I mentioned earlier in the 26 class, will be camping at Texas as well. That's a big win. He will also be visiting Georgia and Ohio State that month. Goes to tell you who else is pursuing him at the moment. But Jerry and I mentioned this a little bit on the recruiting breakdown yesterday, but what's Texas's approach on the West Coast looking like, right? You know, we've seen that increase of official visitors over the last 3 years rise from 3 to 6 to now 9. And to me, that looks like where Texas will be marking its second flag. We know that they want that deeper inroads in Georgia, Florida. Obviously, they've had great success in Louisiana as well. But with all the connections that that staff has right now, you know, especially with the addition of Johnny Nansen, to me, getting nine guys, potentially 10 or even 11 from the state of California to officially visit speaks volumes to the inroads that they already have on the West Coast. And that stems from Sarkisian, Chris Jackson, of course, and Jeff Banks. So that'll be really interesting to me. A lot of really talented guys from that room as well. But to the other one that we mentioned was, hey, Texas has always tried to get in at Georgia. And at times they've had success. You know, they've had talented players come in for official visits. They finished second last year for Daniel Calhoun. This year, it's a little bit different with who they're pursuing. Of course, Emory Winston already in the fold. But then you go out and you look at, of course, you know, the really talented guys, Kevin Wynn, Devin Williams, already committed to Auburn at the moment. It's a little bit different in the caliber of talent that they're recruiting out of Georgia versus just trying to get their foot wet, trying to get some relationships established whenever this staff first took over. Now it's a little bit different. They're big game hunting in the deep South, which is exactly where you want to be coming into the SEC trenches.
Yeah, and I'll add to that, it's going to be so interesting. So one of those subplots is you can go – Kirby Smart's okay with Texas and going in recruiting in the state of Georgia. But when it comes to OLs and DLs, it's a different game. And Kevin Wynn is going to be so interesting to watch to me, the four-star D lineman out of Greene County, because Georgia, not that they're hot and cold on him, but they maybe haven't been all in at times because there's so many talented D linemen in Georgia, and Georgia can go get guys from Alabama and everywhere else on the D line as well. So watch Georgia now try to go make a bigger effort on Kevin Wynn. Not that Florida State's not a threat, not that South Carolina doesn't matter, but what happened with Daniel Calhoun last year, Georgia was not letting Daniel Calhoun go to Texas. They'll push harder for Kevin Wynn now. He's 40 minutes away from Athens. And the last thing Kirby wants is those offensive and defensive line guys from the state to start heading west and going to the University of Texas, with Texas moving to the SEC. That's one to watch. Then Florida is a big one for me, because Texas has signed five guys from Florida the last 2 years. Peyton Kirkland's transferred out to Colorado. Interesting decision. But so they've signed five guys in 2 years. Two of those are running backs with Tashard Choice. There's not a running back in Florida this year. So for Texas to hit two or three guys out of that state this year, it comes down to Jamie French in Jacksonville, a five-star receiver. Texas hadn't got anybody from Jacksonville since when? Myron Charles, four-star D lineman from Port Charlotte, holding on to Brandon Brown out of the Space Coast, O'Galley and Melbourne, four-star D-line commitment. Possibly Derry Norris, four-star D lineman out of Spruce. I mean, it is premium position guys right now, and you don't have Tashard Choice recruiting his specific position, Cedric Baxter and Jarrett Gibson. So these are different recruitments for Texas to have the same success in Florida that they've had the last two classes. And last year, obviously, Jordan Johnson-Rebell was at IMG. So does it count? Yes. Should it really count? No. He's from Fort Worth. He was gonna go to Texas. But there's no running backs in Florida for Tashard Choice this year to go after in this class, or he's going after. So it's wide receiver. It's D-line. And those D-line guys are hard to win in the Southeast region. So Kenny Baker, Tashard Choice, Jeff Banks is involved with the Myron Charles recruitment. They have their work cut out for him there. And then Jamie French, obviously one of the best receivers in the country. CJ mentioned California. I think that's a big one. You know, when you bring in 9-10 guys for official visits, you want to win three of those recruitments. Hayden Lowe, the edge, right, to go with Lance Jackson. If you also get Smith or Ogbo, you could have a great edge class. But you got to win for Hayden Lowe in California. You got to win for Smith or Ogbo over Oklahoma and Houston. And then, you know, look, I think the other big one for me, guys, is there's more A&M in Texas true battles this year. And I think we're going to see it more and more. Fasusi obviously is the big one that people are talking about, right? But there's Cade Phillips. His brother signed with Texas A&M, the DB out of Hightower. And that's Texas A&M, and LSU for a kid in Houston. That's the way recruiting should be in Houston. Texas battling A&M and LSU. Then you have Caleb Chester, the corner at Fort Bend Marshall. He's going to visit Arkansas, and he's visited TCU. Texas A&M. Corey Raymond's still trying there. So I think you're going to see Texas engaged in more battles with Texas A&M moving forward, especially on the offensive and defensive line. Zion Williams, what is he? LSU, Texas A&M. I mean, there's a theme here for some of these guys and some of these battles. I think when you get up to Dallas, it's with a Fasusi, it's more Oklahoma, Texas, and Texas A&M. But Texas and Texas A&M, they have more head-to-heads, setting up to be more head-to-heads this year in this class. Look, Jonah Williams, A&M lean. Blake Gideon went by the school. Texas still expecting to get an official visit. He's not even going to officially visit Oklahoma, it sounds like. That's where he was leaning in January. Could that come down to A&M and Texas? Setting up for there to be more A&M-Texas battle. Kobe Sellers just went to A&M over Texas and Oklahoma out of Shadow Creek in the Houston area. So we're going to see more A&M and Texas battles. I think they're going to be centered in Houston and East Texas.
That's good. I mean, that's good. The subplots that we just talked about, just to reiterate, wide receivers, that's like who besides DeCorey?
Yeah, I didn't even answer that, Bobby. It's Kalik Lockett and I think Kelshawn Johnson with Jamie French and with DeCorey Moore.
But they're still bringing in Daylon McCutcheon and Andrew Marsh, too.
Marcus Harris from Modern Day. And, you know, Sark loves the SoCal footprint, right? So where does Marcus Harris fit into that? The key is if there's so many good ones in Texas this year that Texas is going to have to let go of a couple of guys in state. They know we're good enough if they both win for Jamie French and they take Marcus Harris. So is Texas going to take two out-of-state receivers in this class if they can get them? Or are they just going to take one? You think you're in a good spot for DeCorey Moore? I think Texas is. Texas leads for Kelshawn Johnson. They're going to make the final push. Kalik Lockett, another, by the way, could have been an A&M-Texas-LSU battle once again. So is Texas going to take two out-of-state receivers if they can get them? Or because it's such a strong year in state, are they only going to take one?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, so wide receiver is a subplot. Defensive line recruiting in the South is one that we talked about. Fort Bend is another. Then y'all brought up California. And then, Jerry, I think you did a good job of explaining the A&M, Texas, LSU kind of as well. It's more pronounced this year than perhaps it has been in previous years. So
Here's another subplot we need to talk about. It's hard. This class is more difficult for Texas and Louisiana. So if you look at where Texas's recruit has better shots at in Louisiana this year, it's up on I-20. Aiden Anning, the corner out of Ruston. James Simon, the running back at Calvary Baptist. Jabari Antoine out of Westgate, teammate of Derek Williams. He was on campus multiple times. Corey Raymond gets hired at LSU. It seems like he committed the next day. So recruiting got a little tougher in New Orleans with Frank Wilson, Corey Raymond, and Bo Davis even though Bo hadn't been at Texas, those guys are all really good friends now. And they've been really good friends for years. Obviously, all with big time LSU connections, having gone there, coached there for many years. So it's a little tougher to recruit that Baton Rouge, New Orleans area with all of those guys together on that LSU staff, especially with Corey Raymond coming back, teaming up with Frank Wilson, than it has been in recent years.
Got it. Next thing I want to go over, the state of the program here with Jerry Hamilton and CJ Vogel of On Texas Football. I tell you what, my light keeps going out in this thing, and I don't know what to do about it, guys. I feel like
Bobby's at the club. Bobby's at the club.
I don't want to sidetrack the conversation, but last thing I want to mention in this state of the program is the number of players coming in this week and next week. Silas Bolden is in town now. You have Javion Cole coming out of the cornerback, coming out of San Jose State. Bill Norton, Jermaine Lole out of Louisville, the two defensive tackles from Arizona and Louisville. And then you have the young guys coming in too. Santana Wilson, the corner out of Arizona. You also have Melvin Hills, Nate Kibble, offensive lineman out of Atascocita. And then Michael Kern, the punter that came on the show the other day out of St. Thomas Aquinas. New faces, important ones, so to speak, for Texas. Anything that y'all want to say specifically about them from a macro perspective here?
To me, we talked about what it's like going into the summer months and going into the fall camp, and you have an idea now of what your team is. You had an idea back in the spring, but with the way the portal works and how much of a revolving door it is, you don't know if that's what your position group will look like going into the summer, going into the fall. And then, you know, by week four or five, is that same group of guys that you went through drills with for 15 practices in the spring going to be there in the fall when you need to rely on them, et cetera. This first week of June, when everybody moves back onto campus and starts going through those summer conditioning workouts, that's when you get an understanding of who is on your side, who is your group of guys that you'll go to war with every Saturday in the fall. To me, it's very important, of course, getting that camaraderie and getting up to speed. We've talked a little bit in the past about what this leadership group for the 2024 Texas Longhorn group will look like. Well, now's the time when these eight new faces come in and your roster is essentially finalized for the fall to say, hey, you know, we've all got one group, one goal in mind. We were really close a year ago. Now we need to go conquer that goal. It starts obviously in summer conditioning before we get some pads on later in August. But to me, once that starts in June, you'll get an understanding of everybody's here for the same goal. We're here to play well on the field. We're here to work for each other. We're here to win football games and, you know, essentially get drafted. So that's exciting to me. That's what I'll be looking forward to. We're talking about summer heating up in terms of recruiting, but also in terms of what we'll see in the fall. It begins, you know, June 1st, June 2nd, June 3rd, when all these guys get back going again. And with eight new faces coming in, how does that room look on the defensive line? Lole, Norton coming in. And of course, if you want to talk about subplots, Bobby, you know, Steve Sarkisian mentioned a little bit in the spring about some guys being a little overweight, maybe not being where they wanted to be physically. That's a good summer subplot to follow. What does Sadir Mitchell look like coming in? He's been posting about workouts back home in New Jersey since spring concluded. I'm eager to see if there's been some physical change there. He and a couple other guys. So that'll be something that we check in on, keep updated with. But I'll be following that.
Yeah, I'll piggyback off of what CJ said because I think this is an important piece. Sadir Mitchell and Alex January and Aaron Bryant and some of those returning guys, Jure Bledsoe, when they go out for Torrey Becton's workouts in June, they're now going to look to the right or left and see two older guys that have joined the program. Two more older players, experienced players. That should push them even more than in the spring. Because you look to the right, you look to the left, okay, those guys grow beards faster than we do. Okay, they're experienced older guys. They should push the younger guys even that much more. I think Silas Bolden's energy and chip on his shoulder he's going to bring is going to be awesome. I think Javion Cole, what he's going to bring is going to be really cool to hear about because there aren't many guys on the Texas roster that started in FCS football and have worked their way to Power Five and maybe a draft pick. He may be the only one that's done that on the Texas roster. That makes him different. And then I have a request for the Texas team. I know y'all get in the locker room and play fight and wrestle. Leave Jermaine Lole out of it. He's got to get to the Michigan game healthy. I don't want to see a video of play wrestling and Jermaine Lole involved. The guy's had three surgeries in 3 years. Leave him out of it. Make sure he gets the barber healthy.
All right, good stuff, Jerry. That's going to do it for this week's State of the Program. State of the Program brought to you by our friend Adam Lowy of the Lowy Law Firm. You've been injured in a car wreck, truck wreck, automobile accident of any type, including ATVs and motorcycles. Give Adam and his firm a shout. Reach out to him, lowylawfirm.com, for a free consultation without any strings attached. 20-plus years of experience there in Austin and across the state of Texas. All right, for CJ Vogel and Jerry Hamilton of OnTexasFootball.com, I'm Bobby Burton, and this has been State of the Program. Hook 'em.
Once upon a time, Goldilocks discovered some delicious iced coffee in someone else's home.
This Dunkin' Cold is just right. And this Dunkin' Cold is just right. And this Dunkin' Cold is just right.
She sipped on and on, blissfully unaware that the bear stood watching.
Barry, say something.
Roar. Was that good?
The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off My Rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.